In the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning, we're going to begin with a reading from the Rockcliffe Review. And the name of the article we're reading is Shipwrecked Faith. Let me read this to you. Be not deceived. Doctrine makes a difference. What is taught and what is believed can mean the difference between arriving safe in the harbor and shipwreck. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19, Paul wrote of shipwrecked faith. Paul knew about shipwrecks. By the time he wrote 2 Corinthians, he had survived three of them and had spent a night and a day in the deep, 2 Corinthians 11:25. Paul was no stranger to perils in waters and perils on the seas, 2 Corinthians 11:26. He was on a voyage to Rome when his ship was caught up in a tempestuous wind and exceeding tossed. In Acts chapter 27:20, Luke wrote, when sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They spent another night in the deep, and fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Acts 27 and verse 29. I think of that night when I read in Hebrews 6 and verse 19 that we have a hope as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. The next day the ship ran aground in a place where two seas met. The fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. In the crisis, the centurion commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. Acts 27:41-44. A shipwreck can mean the loss of a ship, the loss of the cargo, and the loss of the lives of those on board. A spiritual shipwreck can mean an eternal loss of an eternal soul. In 1 Timothy 1:19, Paul wrote of some who, concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. He further wrote of foolish and hurtful lust, which drowned men in destruction and perdition. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9. These are men who have erred from the faith, 1 Timothy 6:10. Some teach that we're saved by faith only, and once saved, always saved. But a shipwrecked faith cannot save, else those who would have erred from the faith would not drown in destruction and perdition. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3, Paul told Timothy to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. In 1 Timothy 1:18 through 19, Paul wrote, this charge I commit to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. The difference in holding to a sound faith and making a shipwreck of faith is the difference in sound doctrine and shipwreck doctrine. The charge to teach no other doctrine, 1 Timothy 1:3, is in contrast to godly edifying which is in faith, 1 Timothy 1:4, and of faith unfeigned, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Those teaching other doctrines have swerved and turned aside and wrecked, 1 Timothy 1:6. They remind me of what I did to a car when I was a cocky young driver. I thought the laws of men and the laws of physics would not apply to me, and I wrecked. A little foolish pride can wreck a car. It can wreck a ship, and it can wreck the faith. Paul named two of these reckless steersmen, Hymenaeus and Alexander, 1 Timothy 1:20. They were among those who desired to be teachers of the law without understanding the implications of what they were saying, nor the absurdity of what they had affirmed. 1 Timothy 1 in verse 7, James cautioned, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." James 3 and verse 1. Paul delivered Hymenaeus and Alexander unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme, 1 Timothy 1:20. They would learn by consequences. We hope they did learn. Paul wrote to Titus that the elders are to hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Titus 1:9-13. Vain talkers who turn from the truth and shipwreck the faith must be stopped. Like Timothy, we might have to war a good warfare to stop them. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18. Now that was the feature article in the bulletin at the Rockcliffe Church of Christ. And this is the little paper that we pass out to everyone that gathers together with us for our worship on Sunday morning. It's usually a newsy little paper here that we have, but also we have that feature article that tells us something about the sermon that's going to be preached that morning. And we read from the Rockcliffe Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this radio Bible school, we spend our time looking at old Sunday school lessons, and we're on a lesson on the division of the kingdom of northern Israel and southern Israel. Northern Israel selecting Jeroboam to be their king, and southern Israel, which was mostly the tribe of Judah, selecting the son of Solomon, Rehoboam, to be their king. We find this in 1 Kings 12:12-20. This is a Sunday school lesson E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of September 18, 1927. And we read that as they were separating, that Solomon sent one to try to quell the rebellion. It says that King Rehoboam, now this is 1 Kings 12 and verse 18, King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the men subject to the task work, and all Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam made speed to get him to his chariot and to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. I tell you, sending Adoram didn't help. I guess he thought maybe because Adoram had such authority and was over so many workmen that he could have supposed he would have some influence over them. But they stoned Adoram to death. That was an alarm to King Rehoboam, and so he fled to Jerusalem. And the rebellion against the house of David was fully settled by these kinds of acts. And so Jeroboam was made king in northern Israel. 1 Kings 12 and verse 20. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was returned, that they sent and called him into the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. Now this Jeroboam, he was the son of Nebat of the tribe of Ephraim. His mother was Zerurah, a widow at the time of this lesson. He was also a young man, Solomon's servant, who worked on the fortifications about Jerusalem. He's called a man of valor and industry, for which Solomon gave him charge over all the labor of the house of Joseph. One day, as Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, he was met by the prophet Ahijah, who informed him that because of Solomon's sins, God would take 10 of the tribes of Israel out of Solomon's hands and would give them to him, and that he should reign over them, promising that if he would obey God, God would establish his kingdom. Jeroboam, ambitious and destitute of reverence for God, could not await God's time for doing this, but he lifted up his hand against Solomon. Solomon became jealous and tried to kill Jeroboam, who fled to Egypt for protection, remaining there until the death of Solomon. And having thus rebelled, Israel made Jeroboam their king. Rehoboam first thought of trying to put down this rebellion by war, but when forbidden by Jehovah through Shemaiah to do this, his army returned according to the word of Jehovah. And now I want to read to you of Jeroboam's transgressions. I'm going to return to 1 Kings chapter 12, but I'm skipping down here to verse 25, and I'll read through verse 33. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and dwelt therein. And he went out from thence, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now will the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifice in the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem, then will the heart of this people return again to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me, and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel, and made 2 calves of gold. And he said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even in the Dan. And he made houses of high places, and made priests from among all the people that were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he went up to the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places that he had made, and he went up into the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, even in the month in which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and went up to the altar to burn incense. Let me read to you from Elam's notes concerning this. We need to miss this great lesson, and we need to learn these things. God said to Jeroboam, "It shall be, if thou wilt hearken to all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my eyes, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, then I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and I'll give Israel unto thee." 1 Kings 11:38. By building a sure house, God meant that he would continue his posterity on the throne. Jeroboam threw away this great blessing and opportunity by turning at once from the commandments of God. He distrusted God's promise at once and began to establish and solidify his kingdom in his own wisdom and way, and in transgression of God's law. He recognized in his own heart the true reason for his establishment of idolatry, but did not give this reason to the people. We'll continue in our next class.